Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go, live in rainy Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, it is great to have you here today. Joy Taylor is joining. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell. If you bet football, you play fantasy football, you want to get smarter in football, Greg Cosell, 1 hour from now. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. I think the internet is mad at me again today, Colin.
Why? What'd you do?
Well, you know, it's the Christmas season, So I've been watching Christmas movies Before I go to sleep every night. And Die Hard's very divisive. It's not a Christmas movie, guys. Sorry.
Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
Thank you.
It is.
We are America's Honesty Brokers. It's a great movie.
Now, Home Alone is, and that's been disputed on the internet, too.
What would it be? Thriller?
There was an NBA player, Josh Hart, said, that's not a Christmas movie. And I wanted to say, Josh, I don't know you personally, but we need to discuss it. Yes, Home Alone is a Christmas movie.
Yes,
Die Hard is just action and adventure in the winter.
That happens around
Christmas.
Christmas time. Yes, thank you. I'm glad we settled that.
Well, I wanted to start with this. One of the things that you need to understand, if you're younger, you're in your 20s, even if you become great at something, it doesn't matter what the great is. A coach, an athlete, a salesperson, you're going to have bad stretches. Can you handle that? Because even for superstars, there are bad stretches. And Patrick Mahomes, people now are saying, what is going on with Patrick Mahomes? There has never been in the history of the NFL, ever, a quarterback ever that came into the league and that was great immediately and then just kept rising. Like a tree, he just grew to the sky. It's never happened. Tom Brady was a slow, methodical build. He was winning. He wasn't great. Peyton Manning, rough rookie year, good year 2 and 3, ugly regression year 4. Brett Favre, he was great early and then terrible in year 8. Aaron Rodgers didn't play for 3 years. And then when he did, he had a losing record. John Elway was known for Super Bowl blowouts before running back Terrell Davis arrived in Denver. Dan Marino had an unbelievable year, too. He threw for 5,000 yards when people were throwing for 3,000 yards, and he never equaled it. He never equaled it. Super Bowl first year, amazing year, too, never equaled it. Folks, it doesn't matter. You go to Hollywood. Tom Hanks didn't have his first hit. He was a slow build. He was on TV before movies. His first hit was big 10 years in. Then he went 10 to 12 years where everything was amazing. Saving Private Ryan, Toy Story, Apollo 13. And then about 2003, 2004, 2005, Lady Killers in the Terminal. And now he's back on top. Like, it doesn't work that way. Nobody is great early and great always. If you're a public figure, you're a politician, you're a quarterback, you're a movie star, you're an entertainer, you're a singer, you're going to have a bad album. It's just the way it works. That's why moxie and metal and toughness is so valuable. And the funny thing about Mahomes is people are like, there's regression. I would argue there is no regression. This is who he is. He's always been streaky. It's almost as if his highs were so great that we just forget about everything after it. So remember the year he threw for 50 touchdowns? We were like, unbelievable, the best player ever. Do you know his Super Bowl year the following year? He threw for 26. And at the end of that Super Bowl year, his last six games, he was kind of bad. 8 touchdowns, 4 picks. And then he got to the playoffs, and he was unbelievable. Against Houston, I think it was Tennessee. Mahomes' whole career. We didn't see him for a year. Then he was unbelievable. And then the next year, his Super Bowl year, he cut touchdown passes cut in half. And he was bad at the end of that year. Then he was great in the postseason. That's kind of what he is. He's like an NBA shooter. His highs are high, but he's streaky. Mahomes in college, he was streaky. I don't know what he was in high school. Probably somewhat streaky. In the NFL, he's a little streaky. So even if you're great at something, there is no, you're amazing early and the tree grows to the sky. It never works. I've seen this Mahomes movie. It's called The Terminal. That's what it is. Took him a while, the Texas Tech years, first year didn't play in Kansas City, then he has the Hanks run and he's kind of peeling back off it. He'll come back around. But he talked about this yesterday. When you're as gifted as Mahomes is, you kind of got to let him be gifted. And with the gifts, the left-handed stuff and the sidearm stuff, there's going to be some ugly moments. I mean, that's kind of his game. It's not a real repeatable process like Tom Brady or Russell Wilson where every throw looks the same. It's not like that. A little bit of Josh Allen to it, way high, and then that's weird. A little bit of Lamar to it. That's amazing. That's awful. Here's Mahomes yesterday.
It's part of football. Luckily enough, our defense is playing good enough that whenever they've happened, they've been able to get stopped and get turnovers or whatever it is, and not let it impact the team. I'll try to limit them as much as possible, but at the same time, I have to be me and I have to continue to throw the football and give guys chances to make plays.
It's why toughness is so valuable, mental toughness. For the greatest people, the Peytons and the Favres and the Bradys and the Mahomes, and it's like this. It's not linear. So what about the average players? And that's what 99% of successful pro athletes are. They're very good. It's all over the map. All right, let's talk Dame Lillard. So now there's a lot of rumors, a lot of discussion. What's he going to do? Portland doesn't currently have a GM, so they're in a weird spot. And the late, great Paul Allen, the owner, passed away. His sister now owns the Blazers and the Seahawks, and she's not a diehard sports fan. They don't have a GM. It's a weird situation. And they got time for the trading deadline. But what do you do with Dame? Do you move him? My takeaway has always been he's great, but the only piece Portland has to start a rebuild is Dame. They're not going to get a lot with anybody else. And the Celtics are a perfect fit. But Dame was talking about it yesterday, stuff we talked about, the rumors of him going, and here's what he had to say.
I'm not asking for a trade. You know, I don't know how many times I got to say it. You know, I've been here for 10 years, and I'm trying to be a part of the solution. You know, we all here to do a job. We all here to try to win and try to win big. I just want to be at peace and try to do my job to the best of my ability, you know, and do the things that I care about. And that I'm passionate about, and that's what I'm trying to do.
So we have to be totally honest, even if we love a player. And I used to work in Portland. I love Dame. Talked to him before, you know, on the interweb. And I think he's a great player. But we have to be totally honest here. This year he makes $39 million. Next year he makes $42 million. The next year he makes $45 million. And then he has a player option where he makes almost $50. He wants two more years. I couldn't give it to him. Why? What have I always talked about? He's a smaller athlete. He's a one-end-of-the-floor athlete. He's not having a great season. That doesn't bother me a ton, but he's not. He also played 4 years in college. Now, he was hurt one of those years, but he put a lot of wear and tear on those tires carrying Weber State. And then now in Portland, 10th year, he carries the franchise. He is not a young body. This is why the Celtics trade we discussed yesterday works. Because Boston has somebody that's a little bit the opposite of Dame. His name is Jason Tatum. Now, whereas Dame has great leadership skills, that's the knock on Tatum. He's just talented. Whereas Dame has an older body, Tatum only played 1 year of college, and he's only 23. Whereas Dame isn't great on the defensive end of the floor, Tatum's fine. Jason Tatum and Dame, one's ascending, one's an older body who's still great, but if Dame needs to be your number one every night, then you're the Portland Trailblazers. But in Boston, he can be a one occasionally, a 1A a lot of nights, and then other nights he's a two. And that feels like a team that could get to the finals. But I'm not giving him those extra years. And so if Dame wants that to go somewhere, well, he's going to have to realize then you're going to have a limited roster. I've said this about Russell Wilson. I've said this about, you know, the secret to Tom Brady. He's never the highest paid quarterback. One of the great things about Mahomes' contract, he's a $7 million cap hit this year. And the way they structure the Mahomes deal is that it's totally flexible. They can just keep playing with it and playing with it and playing with it for years. If Dame wants that kind of money in a salary cap sport, then he's going to be the best player. You're not a championship team. You're just not a championship team. If Dame is occasionally on some nights, once every week, the one, most nights a 1A, and several nights a month, the two to Jason Tatum, that feels like a team, if you got the right coach, that can play for a championship. Now, maybe Dame likes to be big fish, small town, Weber State, Portland. I got no problem with that. I've worked in this business for a long time. Some people want to stay in Kansas City. They want to be the local anchor, the talk show host, you know, walk in around town, everybody knows them. I think that's a great life. That's a great life. But if you want to be that, that's fine. But Dame's got to be honest here. He's a smaller athlete. He's a one end of the floor guy. The next 3 years, he's going to be one of the richest guys on the face of the earth. He wants two additional years, and he's starting to get little tiny injuries here and there, which smaller athletes, which have had to lead their college for years and their pro team for a decade, tend to get. I mean, we're seeing a big athlete now that didn't even go to college, LeBron, starting to get a lot of injuries. And that's a guy that's 6 inches, 7 inches taller than Dame and probably 25, 30 pounds heavier. So you just got it. Dame's got to be honest with Dame now. What do you want to be? If you want to make $50 million a year, you're not a championship player. But if you want to go to Boston, have the money you have, and be willing to be like a 1A or some nights a 2, now we're talking a different arena. Now we're talking playing in June. Now we're talking playing potentially in the finals.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet 5. That's it. $5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
One of the things that you see on the internet a lot is people doubling down on wrong. A mantra we use on the show often is get it right. Don't be consumed with being right. And guys, I can't speak for women. Guys are brutal at it. That's why I have so much respect for Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, is that they've acknowledged, they've adapted, and they've evolved over the last... This weekend's a great example. We were all burying these guys. It was time for Buffalo to own the AFC East, Georgia to beat Alabama, and they're just great. I think it's always a sign of intelligence when you're not stubborn and you can acknowledge you're secure enough in yourself to go, you know, I got to tweak this. This game, my game needs tweaking. And, you know, Nick's about 70 and Belichick's about 70. And I said the other day, they can coach to 80. They're really, really smart guys. And Pete Carroll's also a smart guy at 70. And I don't think he can coach for another 10 years because he's doubling down on wrong. So a couple years ago, they made a trade for Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is a very good player. He's a playmaker. I love Jamal Adams, the player. But they spent too much money on him. You know that. I know that. Everybody knew that. They gave away two firsts, a third, and another safety for a safety. And as good as he is, it was worth the first-round pick. I'd give up a first-rounder for Jamal Adams. But they gave up too much for him. And then they had to extend him and give him a new contract because they gave up so much for him. They had to sign him. And he doesn't really fit. And you know he doesn't fit because last year he had 9.5 sacks. This year he has none. And last year, Seattle's defense was 22nd, and now they're 31st. He doesn't fit. He's just a great player. It's not a bad trade because Jamal Adams is a bad player. But every player, you know, outside of your superstar quarterbacks, how do you fit the schemes? He doesn't fit. Seattle's got needs. It's not to have a really expensive safety who could only play 12 games last year. He got hurt and now is hurting out for this year and only played 12 games. But instead of acknowledging it, Pete yesterday, SiriusXM, doubling down on what a masterful draft this was.
It was a terrific trade for us, and he's had a huge impact on us, had a great season last year statistically. You know, all the attention went to the sacks and all that, which kind of dried up this year. You know, we kept trying, and they, you know, obviously that part of it didn't happen, but he still played. He played terrific football. He had a couple picks and had a lot of big plays and tons of open field tackles and hits and all of that. So he's been a big part of the team, and we're going to really miss him. And I know he's taking it really hard because he wants to be out there with his guys, but we got to get him fixed up now.
I feel like he's doubling down on wrong. Look at his division. Arizona had a coach and a quarterback after 1 year. bailed on both. Did not double down on wrong. They lead the division. The Rams had Jared Goff, certainly capable. They moved off him, took a big risk, got Matt Stafford. I think they're better for it. Pete is going down as he keeps doubling down on taking big risks in trades because they've whiffed on so many draft picks. And by the way, Andy Reid's a great coach, but he kind of, after a while, it just didn't work in Philadelphia. And Pete has been in Seattle for 12 years. Maybe it's just time. And maybe we should move from maybe to it is time. Pete at USC and Pete at Seattle. Lot of energy. Quick rebuild by year two and three. Highs are great. And then it sort of starts to unravel. I remember the USC unraveling, and I'm watching the Seattle unraveling. Doesn't mean he's a bad coach, could wear a gold jacket. But when you're starting to double down on stuff, like stubborn is the difference between aging with grace and being a legend and getting whacked. And you can't convince me now. He's played 12 games last year, 12 games this year. He's a weird scheme fit. He is a playmaker, and he's a great playmaker. But you give up two firsts, a third, and a player. You can't stay healthy. Your defense has regressed with him. So you can't tell me what a great fit he is. Great fit is we brought a linebacker over, and actually our run defense went from 28th to 8th. That's a great fit. A great fit is we were bad when he got here. We're worse.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
You know, a lot of times if you're going to fire somebody in any business, you have to ask yourself, can we upgrade? What are the candidates like? And this was a unique year where in college football, six huge brands needed a coach. And the candidates were unbelievable. In fact, the candidates were so good in college football this year, Notre Dame just kept everybody in-house. I mean, Marcus Freeman was going to get a head coaching job somewhere. That's how good the candidates were. Like, Notre Dame's like, no, no. We'll just keep all the guys we have, and it's considered an above-average hire. It's so good that Oregon has been kind of left out of it, right? Like, Oregon lost their guy. Oregon didn't have a coach. And to show you how good the year is in candidates, there's two incredible candidates for Oregon, Chip Kelly. I don't think he'd be as successful as the first time he was there, but that's a great candidate. He knows the school and the, you know, the donors. And then the second candidate's Cal's football coach, Justin Wilcox, and the Wilcox family is legendary in the state of Oregon. And they're the last team. You'd think they'd be desperate. No, Oregon's got, those are like two great candidates for Oregon's job. So in the NFL, it's also a remarkably vibrant year for candidates. So if Seattle moved off Pete, or the New York Giants, or the Chicago Bears, look at the candidates this year, and the offensive candidates are all B-plus or above. Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich, Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll, Josh McDaniels, been a head coach, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. That's just the offensive guys. And then you have two, I think, Matt Eberflus may be as good a candidate as the league has. Like, people in NFL circles that I talk to think Eberflus may be the best candidate, period. Now, you know, we never know if this stuff works. Now, he's a defensive candidate, so... You know, like some teams, if Denver moved off Vic Fangio or Minnesota moved off Mike Zimmer, they probably wouldn't go back to a defensive guy. It's just the trend in the NFL is to go offense, right? But Eberflus is really good. And then Todd Bowles, who doesn't have a huge presence in New York, but like is a super, super good coach. That is an unbelievable year for coaches. And I, by the way, here's another one that I would get on the phone with, Matt Rhule at Carolina. He doesn't have a quarterback. The owner is very impatient. I'm not so sure Oregon or a college couldn't wiggle him to college, or potentially in, within 1 year, he couldn't wiggle out of Carolina and go somewhere in the pros. So you just sometimes you just have to ask, are there any candidates? There are years where it is a bad, bad candidate year. I mean, to show you how good it is in college, Matt Campbell at Iowa State was considered a top five candidate. He stayed, and everybody else still got their coach. So, you know, if you're going to move off, I think you're getting to a point in Seattle where, you know, Pete's doubling down on stuff like Jamal Adams' trade that's wrong. And then I haven't even discussed, we haven't talked about the Russell-Pete dynamic, which is not great. So now maybe Seattle goes on a run to end the year and they're viable in the playoffs. I doubt it, but it's certainly possible. I do think they beat the Texans this weekend. They have the Rams in Arizona, but they play Arizona last week. By that time, the Cardinals could have it wrapped up and be resting all their key starters. So that's a winnable game. I do think Seattle's going to go on a little bit of a roll here. I don't know if they can beat the Rams in L.A.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
In football, like it's especially college, it's like it's intense, it's urgent, and there's a lot of emotion and seasons. Sometimes luck plays a part. You can get bad weather, you can get a bad bounce. And so it's funny because Brian Kelly goes to LSU, and Brian's intense. They had protests early on at Notre Dame to get him fired. He is battle-tested. He left Cincinnati and got ripped because he bailed on him. He left Notre Dame, he got ripped because he bailed on him. He just lost his best quarterback, Max Johnson, I mean, they're running out of quarterbacks, and his brother, Max Johnson's brother, is a big superstar tight end. They both left, and everybody's, Brian Kelly, oh, my God. First of all, he's battle-tested. He's been through this. Okay, he's used to the media scrutiny. Number two is he's let's be honest, he's the best coach of the six new big brand coaches. There's an argument to be made. He's won more than any of them. He's a great coach. Number two is he also landed in a place, LSU, where academically you can get players in if you want them in, and it's an incredible state for high school football, and it's an incredible region for high school football. So Brian Kelly right now is off to a very, very bumpy start. But folks, that's because he has a bumpy personality. If you look at a lot of the great football coaches of all time, Bill Parcells is bumpy, and it was always bumpy early. And Belichick, and Saban's got a little, Tom Coughlin, Mike Ditka. Not everybody comes, you know, antiseptically sealed. Not everything is soft and easy. Football is intense, and some of the great coaches ever are intense. Now, you also get Tony Dungy's. You also get Bill Walsh, the mentor. You also get Don Shula. And a lot of guys aren't yellers and screamers. They're not intense. But I look at Brian Kelly, and I'm like, yeah, it's bumpy. Everything with Brian's bumpy. Notre Dame was bumpy for years. The way he left Cincinnati was turbulent. And this is a bit of a mess. He's an outsider. Now he's moving off coaches. Only one coach from Notre Dame followed him. Oh, wait. Only one coach from Michigan State followed Saban to LSU. It was Adam Gase, a grad assistant. None of Saban's coaches followed him to LSU. That was a story for years. Now nobody talks about it because Nick's not for everybody. Nick wears out coaches. Nick's reputation is the players love him, the coaches hate him. The same with Belichick, same with Parcells. I mean, like, when you work for Bill, Josh McDaniels, get me out of here. And then I come back, and then the owner steps in and pays him a fortune. But, you know, some of these coaches, they're great with players. They're hard on their coaches. And so, like, it's not shocking that this whole thing for Brian's a little up and down early. That's his personality. He's gruff. He is rough. Saban can be gruff. I mean, you remember some of those Saban-Lane Kiffin, like, arguing matches. That's the stuff we saw publicly. And you know Saban was chewing out Lane Kiffin behind the scenes because on national television he was chewing him out. So it's don't overreact to this stuff. Great coach, great football program, and this is his personality. And, you know, certain people, you know, if you ever replace somebody at any job, and Ed Orgeron was very popular in Louisiana. People loved Ed Orgeron. They didn't love his coaching, but they loved Ed. Sometimes you got to clean something out. I had this discussion last night. I've had enough movement in my career where sometimes I, not here, but other places, you come to a new place and you got to clean the room out. You got to get new people, got to get a new audience. You kind of go and just do things the opposite of what the previous host did or the previous boss did. It's okay. All I know is Brian Kelly wins everywhere. He wins everywhere.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
With that, Greg Cosell, 42 years NFL Films, joining us. So a lot of what people were saying about the Patriots-Bills Monday night was, gosh, New England's running four plays. It's the G lead, the guard lead. It's just so simple. Why couldn't Buffalo stop it? All right, let's ask you, the expert. Why couldn't Buffalo stop it? Or did they stop it? Or did they stop it more than we think, and New England only had a couple big runs?
I would say, you know, it's interesting you asked that, because I would say that they controlled the game with their run game. It was really interesting because they only ran 46 plays, which seems like a very small number. It is a small number, but yet they controlled the ball for over 32 minutes. So they did control the game with their run game. And I thought they had a very good understanding of Buffalo's defensive front. Buffalo is what we call an over front as their foundation. It means their front is shifted to the strong side of the offensive formation, where there's a tight end or a sixth offensive lineman, as the Patriots used on quite a few snaps, actually 30 snaps with six offensive linemen. And I thought the Patriots did a really good job of understanding how to create angle blocks and leverage blocks. And then the other point, Colin, it's just the way it is people were moved. You know, when there's double teams, very often people get moved, and that creates lanes. And the Patriots did an excellent job. But I have a question for you. Do you think that Bill Belichick would have played that way if it was 50 and beautiful weather? Or do you think that was the game plan no matter what?
I think Bill made, because he's been in so many of these games that feel like you're playing in a nor'easter, I think Bill made decisions before the game. We're not going to kick a field goal unless we're 10-yard line or closer. We are not going to throw the ball unless we have the wind behind us. I think Bill made decisions before the game. I think Buffalo...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if Buffalo did. I think Buffalo made decisions in the game. I think Bill made them before the game. And so I think if there's no wind, they probably throw it 20 times. That's my... Now,
well, yeah. Now, it's interesting you say that, because Buffalo came out in the game with six offensive linemen, two tight ends. They clearly tried to run the ball as well. They just don't run the ball well. And I think we're seeing as the season progresses, which was obvious on tape from the beginning of the season, is that Buffalo has two distinct weaknesses on the offensive side of the ball. Their offensive line is not very good, and they can't run the ball. And those two weaknesses are going to come back to haunt them. They can come back to haunt them in any given game. And this was a game where it did come back to haunt them. And I think because of those weaknesses, my sense is, we'll never know because Belichick will not talk about it publicly, but my sense is he also did not believe that Buffalo could score very much on his defense.
You know, it's interesting about Josh Allen. So I actually like Buffalo against Tampa this week. I think they're desperate. I don't think they can run the ball, so they're not going to try to. They're going to throw it 45 to 50 times against Tampa. They're totally desperate.
If they can protect, that's the issue.
So what did you make of Josh Allen's performance on Monday? Because we spent so much time on New England. Were you disappointed, discouraged? What did you make of Josh?
I think he missed a few things, and that game, all those things become magnified, but he also made a couple of great throws. That throw to Diggs should have been a touchdown, and if it was a touchdown, we might be having a different conversation totally. I think that he's in a very difficult position, Colin, because they cannot run, and their offensive line isn't very good. Every game becomes a referendum on Josh Allen. He needs to be great on every single play, or people think he's not a good player because they don't have anything else they can really do with any consistency on offense. So they can only win one way, quite honestly, on offense, and that's for Josh Allen to be great. And that's asking a little too much of any quarterback. Very few in the history of the game can you ask that of.
So I want to talk about the Cowboys. They play Washington this week, and I guess it's not must win for them, but they are healthier now. Amari Cooper is back. Zeke is rested. You can be a great player in the NFL, but that doesn't mean you're always the most valuable player. You can just be a great player. But when I watch Dallas's defense, Micah Parsons feels so important to that defense. What does the film say?
Yeah, well, personally, I believe the film tells me that he is the best edge pass rusher in the National Football League this season.
Wow.
And so I am fascinated to see what they're going to do. I think you have to discount the game against the Saints a little bit because they used him as a spy because of Taysom Hill. And Taysom Hill is a little unique as a quarterback. But now that they have their people back, Lawrence was back last week. They're getting Gregory back. They're getting Gallimore back. How will they use Micah Parsons? Because they could bring him back to stacked linebacker, which to me, based on tape, I think he should definitely be an edge player, certainly in long yardage situations. It's one thing if you want to play him at stack backer, you know, on first and 10, second and four, that's fine. But I think when it gets to passing situations, to me, he should be an edge pass rusher because the tape tells me that he has been the best edge pass rusher in the NFL this season.
All right. So now Dallas plays Washington. This is, again, it feels bigger for Washington than Dallas. Now, early in the year, the narrative was, how can Washington have all these great defensive linemen and be so bad defensively? And then they lose Chase Young, and they're actually better defensively. So we know Ron Rivera knows defense. I think like half of the years he was in Carolina, it was a top 10 defense. So what have they done schematically, losing Chase Young, that's made him a better defense?
They made a dramatic change starting week 10 when they played the Bucs, and that was the beginning of their four-game winning streak. leading up to that game for that part of the season, the first 10 games or 9 games, they had played a high percentage of man-to-man defense. Starting week 10, they've been playing almost all zone. In fact, they have one of the lowest percentages of cover one, man coverage, in the NFL. They'll play some of it on third down. That's when they play it. Not every third down, some. But other than that, they play literally zone on every snap. And the other thing that they've done, which has really turned out well for them, is now their base defense, as so many other teams are doing in the league, including New England, is their base defense is big nickel. They play with three safeties. They play with McCain, Cameron Curl, and Landon Collins as their base defense. So essentially, they play with four down linemen, two linebackers, and they play with three safeties. And that's what they've done, and they've played very well. Plus, Jamin Davis, the rookie linebacker, has really started to play well in the last number of weeks, and he's 6'3", 235 pounds. He is a physical specimen.
I want to move to Kansas City because I honestly feel the strength of the team, and I don't know what the film says, is actually their defense right now. I think their offense doesn't quite have an identity. Not that he's broken, but Mahomes a little off, little squirrely, little sidearm stuff, his mechanics. They don't have much of a run game. They don't commit to it. But the defense. So we know just based on what they're doing, what our eyes see, their defense is better. Is it schematic? Is it Chris Jones moving inside? What is it with their defense? Last five games they've won.
Couple of things. Number one, they're playing more cover two. They've always had cover two as part of their arsenal, but they've played more of it and they're good at it. And Tyrann Mathieu is very good at disguising the intentions.
Yep.
He ends up being what we call the middle hole defender in cover two, and he's really good in that role. It's almost like a robber role, reading routes, seeing things, and he's so aware and so smart. And so that's been a big factor. You mentioned Chris Jones. I think moving him inside has really helped them as well. To me, he was not really comfortable on the edge.
Yeah.
He's an inside player. He's a dominant inside player. If you think back a few weeks ago when they beat the Cowboys, I think it was 19-9.
They couldn't block
the final
him.
Score. He dominated. And by the way, he had dominant snaps, several of them against Zach Martin. So he's a really good inside player. And I tell you who I think has really helped them, particularly with their run defense, and that's the rookie linebacker, Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
He's a very, very good run defender.
All right. So, listen, we can see right now, whether it's seeing the field, whether it's he feels rushed, but Baltimore's done a pretty good job every year to give Lamar a little more. They gave him the coordinator, then Mark Ingram, then a tight end, then they're giving him stuff, and he is either plateaued or regressed. What is the film saying?
Yeah, right now he's in that classic case where he is just not seeing things, and he's just not – even plays that are designed for a specific thing where, hey, this is where we know we want you to throw the ball, he's not throwing it. So basic route concepts. So I just made a note to myself as I've been watching his tape. Is he not seeing it? Is he uncertain in the pocket? And how about this? Since week 10, okay, he's played 3 games since week 10, Colin, because he missed one game.
Yeah.
That was the game the Dolphins just lined up with those 6, 7, 8-man fronts and literally blitzed mercilessly. Well, teams have noticed that, and teams are blitzing the Ravens. Now, it's not just Lamar they're blitzing, but he's the quarterback. Now, his quarterback rating against blitz in the last 3 games is 9.4.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. They cannot function against blitz. Now, it's as I said, it's not just him. I think they're really struggling on the O-line in how to handle pressure fronts where there are 6 or 7 people on the line of scrimmage, and you've got to figure out how you want to go about blocking them, who the O-line is responsible for, who the quarterback is responsible for. These are all factors, but the bottom line is they have not been able to function versus blitz in the last 3 games Lamar Jackson has played.
Greg Cosell joining us. Greg, sometimes when you lose a player, you can like when the Rams lost Cam Akers, you go get Sony Michel. He's about 75% of them, and you do what you can. And then you lose Robert Woods, and there's not a Robert Woods on the market. And so you've got to now you get OBJ, who's a different kind of player. But you can also make schematic changes. And the Rams right now, they're dealing with no Robert Woods, no Cam Akers. So it's not the same team. There are certain things you just can't do. And that maybe with OBJ, a little more speed than Woods, maybe there are things you can do. Did you notice you know, and again, it's hard to judge anything on the Jags, but they did look a little more physical against the Jags when I watched. I thought they were a little bit more physical. What is McVay doing now? Because he's going to have to tweak if he wants to go to the next level. And oh, so he did. What did he do?
He did tweak. Number one, they played this past week, and you can talk about the Jags all you want. The Jags have had some good defensive games this season. What they did, 16 snaps, Colin, with six offensive linemen. Prior to that game, they played one snap with six offensive linemen. That's not a McVay thing, six offensive linemen. But they had 16 snaps of it this past week. So they wanted to run the ball. They wanted to create some physicality in their offense and run. The other thing, and this might not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but it is. And normally it's the kind of thing you would do in an offseason. With the loss of Woods, okay, he was their Z receiver.
Yeah.
And the Z receiver in an offense is the off-the-ball receiver, the movement receiver, the motion receiver.
Yep.
What they've now done is they've moved Van Jefferson to that role. So he has to learn that position during the season, okay, because Odell Beckham is not that guy. Odell Beckham is an X, and that's the receiver that lines up on the ball. So they've had to make a change at the receiver position as well. And as I said, it might not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal. So they've had to tweak and adjust as the season's gone on here.
You know, we were talking as a staff this morning about Justin Herbert. And I said, you know, he's got Mahomes in his division. So, you know, it would be like having Marino in your division. It wouldn't matter how good you are. You're not going to get talked about. And Herbert, you know, the Chargers are the number two pro franchise in Los Angeles. He's a quiet kid. He played up in Oregon.
Right.
You know, I watched him against Cincinnati, and there's just nothing I don't like. I like everything. there's just nothing. I don't want to go crazy because I like him. You know what I mean? I don't want to have, you know, certain confirmation bias, but what did the tape say against Cincinnati?
Well, you know, look, you have to talk every day about this stuff, and it's so easy when a guy doesn't have a great game, then people say, well, is he really as good as we think? I mean, this is the NFL. Not every week does the quarterback have a phenomenal game. We're talking about a high-level traits player. And by the way, I thought he missed a couple of things this week, but you know what? That happens a lot too. You know, Tom Brady missed a couple of things this week as well. But Herbert is a really gifted player. I think they run an offense that is not built to really push the ball down the field at this point in time. They'll take some designed shots, like this touchdown that we're looking at to Guyton was a designed shot play, but they're really much more of a rhythmic pass game.
Mm-hmm.
And some might say, hey, let this kid push it down the field a little more. Maybe they'll get to that. But the bottom line is he sees things well. He made a throw for a touchdown this past week, Colin, that I don't think people realize how good it was. And that's the play I want to show.
Oh, okay.
So we can get to that right now because I don't, you know, there are so many elements to this play, I think, that people are not aware of. It's a fourth down play in the tight red zone at the 4-yard line. So they're expecting man coverage here. So what they do is they send Jalen Guyton in motion across the formation. And that he's the man zone indicator in their mind. And Mike Hilton starts to run across the formation with him. And they think, okay, it's man. That's what Herbert sees. Now, the other thing he sees that confirms man to him is Eli Apple pressed on Mike Williams. That looks like man. There's also a linebacker, Jermaine Pratt, who's going to be matched on Ekeler. All this to that side of the field looks like man. So he wants to throw the wheel route to Ekeler. I mean, that's the play against man. But you know what? It ends up not being man. You can see Herbert looking over there, but what you get is they drop into zone and the wheel route is taken away because the corner is dropping off. So the wheel route is not there. So let's look at Keenan Allen on the other side of the formation
now.
Right. And these are the three defenders you want to focus on because remember, it's now zone, not man. And Herbert has to read that after the snap of the ball. There's not a lot of time here. So he looks left, registers, and processes that it is zone.
Yeah, you can see it.
So now there's three defenders he has to deal with. But look how quickly, Colin, he snaps his head around and sticks this throw. I mean, this is a seed. Look at it. This is a seed, but the decision-making and the awareness is just mind-boggling. So it doesn't seem like much, but that's a big-time quarterback play on fourth down.
God, that's fun. He does have an arm, man. He throws it like somebody on the internet was comparing him to a javelin thrower, and they put it next to each other.
Yeah.
The way he steps into it. He is such a gifted kid. Greg, great talking to you again. Happy holidays. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hansis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show is hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.